Welcome to Season 1, a podcast where two best friends watch, review, and recommend television series that only lasted one season. My name is Andrew.
And my name is Presley.
And thank you all for being here with us again today. If you're wondering, this is the first take. We're going hot, no edits.
I've never once had to edit the podcast because we're just so good at it.
Yeah.
That wasn't your seventh or eighth try.
Definitely wasn't my seventh or eighth go at starting. I definitely didn't add random words that we've never used before. So that's good. But it's great to have everyone here. Presley,
welcome back.
How you been? What's been going on?
You know, I've been good. I've been reading a lot. Much to the chagrin of the people around me. As you know, we went to a friend's birthday dinner party earlier this week, and I strategically sat across from one of our friends who I knew had also read these books, and we talked for pretty much exclusively to one another about these books for nearly 45 minutes. Yeah. And then everyone kept looking over like, hey, should we like interrupt them so they can be part of the broader conversation about whoever's birthday it is? And I think that nobody did, and it was maybe a bad thing since we just talked for a very long time. I enjoyed the shit out of it, so I don't really care.
Yeah, I'm glad that you two enjoyed your conversation. What everyone else was actually thinking was, oh my God, are they still talking about Fairy Smut? Yes, they are. Just leave them be. Yep. That was the reality.
And I have no regrets. Now into it. I'm unabashedly into the Fairy Smut. So if any of our listeners have any good recommendations, would love to hear it. Mm-hmm.
You held out pretty tough. You were like not trying to get into it. And then I feel like Annie and Kendra then just like got you. And then you were just fully in. So congratulations. Yeah,
I had some really good gateway drugs in books. I know this is a podcast about television shows, but we're going to talk about books.
Yeah.
And we even gave a copy of one of the books to your girlfriend. So you're coming down the line here eventually.
Yeah.
You'll come to see the true beauty that is fairy and or dragon smut, or as is commonly referred to in the nicer connotation of romanticy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think fairy smut works better for me, but I understand
it's become like an endearing term. I actually listened to a whole podcast about this. This was like months ago. This is not when I was reading these books, and they were talking about how like they've kind of reappropriated the term as like a term of endearment and like, yeah, we like it. Who cares?
Call it whatever you want. We love it. Yeah. So what? Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I love that for the fairy smut community.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good for them.
But this is a podcast, like I said, where we talk about TV shows, so we won't get too much into that. But before we do, how are you?
Good. Been busy. Lee and I just had a friend in town, and like life just never stops. So really busy. But I'm happy to report that this episode's coming out on time.
I know. What a concept. Giving us 2 weeks to watch 8 episodes of television.
Yeah. Yeah. So this week we're here to fortunately or unfortunately talk about Renegade Nell, depending on who we are. First let's play, is there an intro? There's not really an intro, is there?
There is. It's played during the outro credits and at certain times in the intro, but they don't have like a title sequence. It's just music overlaid with the title like on the screen,
right? And then like whatever is actually happening in the show.
Yeah, exactly. Really cool. It'll be brief, so hit it, Johnny.
Getting into the story,
spoilers as always for this. But Renegade Nell was a Disney Plus original TV show that aired earlier this year, actually. The show follows Nell Jackson, played by Louisa Harland, as she returns home a widow after her husband died in an unnamed war. It might be a real historical war. I don't believe they name it at all in the show. Being held up on the highway home by highway robbers, Nell discovers that she has powers that grant her super strength and inhuman abilities and perceptions and reflexes. She can jump really high. She can stop bullets. She can, you know, do all this crazy stuff. Finally arriving home at her family's tavern / pub / inn, she becomes embroiled in a dispute between the landlord, her father, and the landlord's son, who is kind of that like archetypal, like rich trust fund kid. It's in the 1800s, but it's like that same thing where he just fucks around and spends money. And his dad's like an actual respected magistrate. Mm-hmm. So after her father is killed by the landlord's son, because Nell actually embarrasses the son in like, it's a little complicated, but basically she embarrasses the son. So the son kills the father because that's who his real beef was. So then Nell goes to confront the landlord and basically the son to be like, hey, we know that he didn't die from poaching on your land. You killed him. And then the son decides to kill his own father to inherit his inheritance because he has debts that he can't pay and his dad has cut him off. The landlord's son kills his own father, and then they blame Nell, and her two sisters, Roxy and George, are forced to go on the run along with the stable hand and slave of the family, Rasselas. In order to survive, Nell resorts to robbing people on the highway, just as she was attempted to be robbed before, using her power to kind of get an edge over things where, you know, she's just always able to get out on top. Nell discovers that her powers are granted by a fairy named Billy Blinds, played by Nick Mohammed. Billy agrees to never help Nell commit wanton crimes or to just do it for fun, but that he will always show up when she is in danger and needs his help. So there's kind of like a limitation. She can't just like be uber strong and powerful whenever she wants. It's like kind of out of necessity. Now embroiled in a hunt for Nell, Sophia Wilmot, Alice Kremelberg, who's the daughter of the person Nell is accused of killing, and her dark arts teacher, the Earl of Poynton, who's just referred to as Poynton, even though that's not his name, played by Adrian Lester, begin to track and try and kill Nell and her remaining family, aka her two sisters. Throughout many adventures, eventually Nell realizes that the only way to help clear her name is to save the Queen of England, who the Earl of Poynton is trying to usurp and overthrow because he is a Jacobite. The series concludes with a battle between Poynton and Nell, where Nell asks Billy Blinds to sacrifice their connection to save the son of the landlord, who basically started this whole mess, and who she hates. And the son of the landlord is where Poynton has been drawing his power from during the battle, so he can kind of hang with Nell with her power. After pardoning her because Nell was able to save the queen, Nell and her family win back the rights to their pub and ride back home, where we see Billy Blind flying behind them, alluding to future adventures and that he wasn't actually, you know, killed in trying to save the son of the landlord. It's all really confusing. It took me almost an hour to write this fucking synopsis.
Yeah, that's not surprising. Also, just a quick clarification. He wasn't like going to have to sacrifice himself to save Thomas. He just had to sever his connection with Nell. So we were not expecting him to anymore like be a liege to her or help her, and that's what the little like flying behind, because that was basically what they talked about. It's like he belongs to her, or like they're like this bonded pair
they're
thing
tied
and
together,
in order for him to help the other guy, he basically had to like leave her behind. But obviously that guy's not now going to be the main person in the story, so somehow Billy Blind is going to make his way back to Nell. So
or would have had the series not been canceled.
Or would have had the series not been fortunately canceled.
Fortunately?
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm just going to be straight up. I didn't really find much value in this show.
Okay.
But I am curious to know how you felt, because I was thinking about it. Actually, Leanne and I were talking about it, and I really wasn't sure. I seem to think that you probably liked it, though.
But I certainly liked it more than you did. I wouldn't say it's like top tier of our list or anything like that.
Yeah.
No. And I had watched the first episode a number of months back because it had been recommended to me on a different podcast, like totally unrelated to it. They were just like, hey, I'm watching this with my kids and they've been really enjoying it and it's on Disney Plus and give it a shot. And so I'd given it a shot then. So I kind of had like a little bit of early knowledge or like thoughts about it, but I wouldn't I wouldn't go as far as to say that like it's awesome. I certainly have a lot of problems with it. And maybe in our typical fashion, I'm less hate filled towards our shows than you are.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well, what do you mean? Like, give me more talk to me. What's happening? Why don't you like it?
You know, I just really didn't. Nothing really clicked for me. I felt like everything was just nothing. It didn't feel like we had a really solid set of rules or a solid understanding of the world or of like the landscape of things. It was just kind of like we have this person and this like little fairy with a mullet who just like gives her special powers. And great. That's fine. I want to know more about who he is, where he comes from, why the powers exist, and like why magic exists in their world, but we don't get anything. He doesn't even know why he's there. He just shows up one day. And like there can be that's fine. There can be some mystery to understanding like why he was sent there, or what the whole thing is about, right? But like, it just they really just kind of like didn't spend any time trying to convince you of anything. It was just, here's all this stuff. Here's all these people. Like, I didn't really feel like it sold to me.
Yeah, I think that you're honing in on a problem that I agree with and think is the biggest problem of the show, is that there is not like a codified reasoning for any of this to be happening.
Correct. Right? Like, that's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah.
If she gets embroiled in the kind of land dispute that gets her father killed, right? And then she makes a deal with the devil that lets her have these special powers, right? Like, that's like a very typical story that you kind of expect. But like the introductory scene, we see one of her kind of compatriots eventually become compatriot Devereaux robbing a stagecoach, and then she kind of just stumbles upon them inadvertently. Yeah. And then she's like, don't mess with me because you'll regret it. And they're like, oh, I don't think so. And then she beats the shit out of them, right?
Yeah.
And then so she knows that this has been happening, and clearly there's a backstory to it, but we don't ever see any of that. We are never understood why Billy Blind is there, who Billy Blind is. Is he a fairy? Is he a spirit? Is he a ghost? Is he some other thing? Is he magic, right? Like, because then it is showed with the Earl of Poynton that magic is very much like a thing. He's like into the occult and like the dark arts or whatever, right? Yeah. Which, again, is fine, but you want to have like consistency in the language of the show about what it's talking about.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't feel like I was getting any consistency. And also the idea of, and maybe it's just because I don't know England well, but like I had no idea where we were. It felt like we were always in London, but we weren't in London, because they kept talking about how they needed to go to London or something in London was happening. They would mention that they were maybe briefly or casually mentioned they were somewhere. I just didn't feel like I had a good idea of where the, like what was happening.
They're in the surrounding where area of London and parts of London.
I mean, yeah, I could assume that, but I just didn't really feel like I felt very grounded. I didn't feel very grounded in like the idea of the magic and the world we were living in. Other than I know, like, you know, it's England in the 1700s. We have like the Jacobite rebellion and like all that kind of stuff happening, which is a real thing. I know we have all that going on, but I felt very, I didn't feel like anything was really certain or like I really understood anything that was happening or why anything was happening. I understood what happened.
I read you the plot, so hopefully you have at least a cursory understanding of what happened.
It's the why. And, you know, I don't always need to know the why, but if I don't know any why to anything ever like in this show, that's when it kind of like starts to lose me a little bit.
And to your point, right, you can have a mystery show where we don't know why Billy Blinds is showing up. We don't know why magic exists, right? But then the driving force of the plot should be to discover those things and then get embroiled in the mystery of that, rather than they're just accepted facts of what's going on.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing is that her sister, Roxy, who is slightly younger, is also like magically imbued in certain ways, and that is never elaborated on.
That tell her,
yeah, she's like to make a potion. She can kind of see the, like she can see Billy Blinds when he goes into Nell, because that's like how she gets her power. Yeah. Is she like absorbs him, and she can see that happening, and no one else can. And she can also like in the final episode, she like knows to go to the sun because he's like having the evil like sap from him.
Yeah,
and she like is like, I know I need to go here to deal with this, right? Like, and it literally never explained. It's just kind of hand waved. So I agree with you. I think that's like the messiest part of the show, in my opinion. But then, like the rest of the show, I found to be really entertaining and fun. But it sounds like you didn't like that either.
I don't know. It was fine. I don't know. I feel like we were given this very loose like premise of when Nell can have powers. Like when Billy will like help her.
Yeah.
And then it got muddied very quickly, very easily. And there wasn't really much discourse. Cause like, yeah, he went in to save her, but like he told her not to do bad stuff. And she's kind of like just doing whatever the hell she wants. And he's just like, okay, fine. I'll help you.
I think he's won over by her plight to help people that are genuinely in need, because like,
yeah,
he can't like control her actions, right? He can only control when he chooses to give her his power. And so like, you know, they at one point she gets kind of tricked into being locked into the prison when she's going to try and save
Devereaux. And he tells her like, I think your purpose is to help the unfortunate and like help these kids.
Because there's all these kids that were like locked up because they were starving and stole some bread, or you know, freezing and stole a blanket, right? And so she breaks out of prison and breaks everybody out of prison, but it's like some of those people might just be murderers. Like maybe we shouldn't break everyone out.
Maybe we should just break like the kids out who stole bread for their like 4-year-old like sister. I don't know. It is muddy. I don't know, man. I just felt like the stakes. Okay. The whole Jacobite Revolution was like a thing, right? It's a real thing. They believe that.
Give us the history lesson.
I don't know enough to like speak intelligently on that. But the Jacobite movement was a real thing in early 1700s. That was a real rebellion. Is it King James? I think it was James, right?
Yes.
They basically believe, like all these folk believed that the monarchy was stolen from King James. He was the rightful ruler because he was Catholic, et cetera, et cetera. That's a real thing. I like that they tried to fit something fantasy into something real. But I don't know. I just didn't feel like any of it was that believable. And it felt too... It felt like they were trying to make us feel like the stakes were high, but the entire way that everything happened in the entire series was so like filtered around how would kids like this, that it didn't feel heavy or important. Like one point where like they're plotting to kill the queen, the Jacobites are, and it doesn't feel important. Like, it didn't feel important to me at all. Like, Nell and her friends learn that this is happening, and they feel obligated to go and save her. But it doesn't feel important. It doesn't feel like there was even a chance that she could have died. It was like, you know, Poynton has all this power, and there's all this, like, worry about what's going to happen. But it doesn't feel like any of it has real stakes. None of it felt very important to me. I don't really know. It's just like, I think we often think about who is this for, like who's the audience of this show.
This is going to be my biggest thing when we talked about this,
and it's 100% children. And I think it was supposed to be like preteens and kids is what it feels like they're going for.
Yeah,
now they may have wanted this to be, you know, accessible to more than that, but that's what it feels like. And I think that's part of the reason why I didn't believe anything, and why they didn't try to sell anything. They didn't try to like make me understand or believe this magic. They just went, look, there's magic. Here's a fairy like sprite and it gives her powers. Just believe this. And kids, of course, they're stupid. They don't think critically about things as much as I would or as you would. And they're going to be like, ooh, yay, fun. You know?
God, we should get a kid on the podcast. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Make them watch The New Tomorrow and see if they like it.
Oh, God.
No, but I mean...
The amount of brain rot that would come out of that kid if we had to get on the podcast. I'm so scared.
No, I imagine it's like the Vine or like the old video of that kid who's like sitting in the cosmic background and he's like, "Do you know when and he like just stammers for like a minute and a half straight." That would be what our show would be. And I'm here for it.
I feel like that's what our show is.
Isn't it? Yeah, I agree with you completely because like this was my biggest problem of like I'm enjoying the show generally. If this show was like a hard R, like on an intense streaming service, and there was like slit throats and really intense action and like really serious stakes, and you can even have like her sisters be there and be in real danger. I mean, a kid gets shot in this show, but that also leads to the problem of what we're talking about, where it's like for a kid's show, you should not have a child be shot, correct? Nor should your final villain get. Like the final shot of the villain is like a sword slowly creeping out from his breast, like in between his sternum, right?
Yeah.
And then he falls to the ground and then you slowly watch the pool of blood around him like spread. It's like that's not a kid's show kind of a thing. So I agree with you. It's like trying to straddle this line that is fundamentally can't do, right? Because like there's just too much width there of like we want it to be serious and intense and actiony, but we also want, like, you're right, like we want the kids to like the little fairy guy and we want them to laugh at silly jokes.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, I mean they try to make it feel really dark, but it
parts of it for sure,
but it was for kids. Like it, like genuinely believe that whether they intended it or not, this show is meant for kids. And so it muddies the dark like mood that they try to put into it with having, oh yeah, like we have this magic and there's like these brutal people that are like just killing people randomly, you know, her father being killed just because kind of thing, or you know, kids being in prison and shit, like a lot of this stuff, like how they killed Poynton and things like that, those things are kind of dark, but then it's just diluted by silly kid music and kid themes. And like, okay, one of the things that also really bugged me,
okay,
is the soundtrack in this.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't really like the soundtrack specifically. Like a lot of the soundtrack was kind of fine, whatever, meh, whatever, but the theme that they played every single time that Billy like was giving Nell powers and she fought, just
the, like, very operatic one.
Yeah, very operatic. It didn't feel like it really fit, and it just felt like this show kind of felt like it was trying to be like teenage Pirates of the Caribbean, sort of, but not really. Okay. And it just didn't work. I don't know why, but the feeling of like the whimsical part of like Pirates of the Caribbean is what it felt like they were aiming for in this, and I don't think they hit it.
Yeah, because there's a lot of like pirates is the perfect, I think, epitome of what this show was trying to be, right? Yeah. Where even though it's PG-13 and like the skeleton people are creepy and scary if you're not into that kind of thing, like it's ultimately a pretty silly, fun, like enjoyable romp, right? Yeah. Like at least the first one, right? Yeah. And then it has some serious tones, and like if you were showing it to a younger person, yeah, they might be a little too young, but you could always just not show them like the third act and everything would, they'd be fine, right?
I mean, I watched those when I was young. They came out when we were pretty young. I mean, I think I was like 12 or something.
Yeah, I think we both were probably in like early middle school days.
Yeah.
I know that it scared me because I'm a fraidy cat, and we've discussed this before, and the skeleton man were scary because they have like rotting flesh on them. But again, it's like you can ride the line there, and Disney does a really good job. But usually the comparison I had, that's like this is done better in another show that we've discussed, which is the National Treasure show, where it's like one step further into like being adult because the main characters are all older, as opposed to just having like Nell, who's clearly older, and everybody else being like teenagers / young kids. And even if there aren't like as many serious like ramifications or consequences or murder or anything like that, the everything's played like as straight as possible in terms of like stakes and like death, right? Like people are murdered in that show, and it's not ever played for a laugh, and it's never played as silly or, you know, anything like that. And so I just think you're right that it's, you know, it is the question we eternally ask. And I think it is usually one of the two root problems of the shows that we talk about is, you know, are those two problems being who is this show made for and why are there so many people and why is it such a convoluted plot?
Yeah.
Like those are the two things. I don't think that this plot is particularly convoluted. I know it's hard to describe. It's hard to sum up succinctly,
yeah.
But like if you watch the show, I at no point was confused about what was happening in the plot.
No, same. I feel like one of the things that I would say they did well is which is a common mistake a lot of shows that we review do is it's not a super like shotgun blast multi-threaded like storyline. It is actually
seven
fairly
different characters. Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of characters, but it's actually fairly linear and fairly like cohesive as far as a story goes. Yep. I just think for me, the story just needed more depth.
Yeah, I think
like,
that's fair.
Not that the murder of one's father and like wanting to like in the framing of Nell and all that doesn't have depth. I think the way that they did it was too childish and like whimsical.
And you know what's interesting? I think this is one of those shows where I'm certain that they had 10 episodes planned and then they thought that was too much or it went over budget. And so they left a lot on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Because like to me, I could see an episode where you kind of start with Nell being in the throes of this war and losing her husband. And then like that's when Billy Blind shows up for the first time when like, she really needs him. And then you have like little moments like that, right? Where it could kind of bridge some of the gaps that we're talking about into like why things are happening the way they are, what the stakes in the world are, rather than like the first scene, she just shows up randomly and she has this power and we kind of are filled in on her backstory. It just feels like we're missing, you know, 45 minutes worth of content spread out amongst all of the 8 episodes that we already watched. And it's like, did they film that or was it just poor writing or was it, you know, Disney wanted it to stay more childish so they couldn't show war? You know, it's kind of hard and ambiguous to know, but I'm on the whole agree with you that it feels strange.
Yeah, I think that they just banked on the fact that viewers aren't going to ask too many questions, right?
Especially kids.
I mean, we're just going to assume like, oh, she's coming back from war. She's a widow. She's got powers. Great. I don't need to, you know, I'm a kid. I don't need to know why she exists. It's fun that some sparkly thing goes inside of her and then she's like invincible.
She's superpowers. Yeah.
And she's a superpower. She can like throw these big, strong men around. Like, that's great. That's cool. I want more. I want to know what's like why, you know, we're doing all of that.
Yeah, and, you as an adult man want something different than the show that's made for, you know,
for kids.
Younger.
Yeah.
And I think also targeted towards young girls, young women, right? Like, because everyone, save for one character in the main cast, is a woman. And they
Which
all are
with.
Like, no. But I'm saying, like, it's just not meant for us to adult man. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. It's not.
And we've watched plenty of shows where I think they're not intended for us, but we can still find joy or fun in them. And I think this one just kind of misses the mark just enough to be frustrating.
Yeah.
Where like you want, if you're a parent watching the show with your kids, you also want to glean some entertainment from it. And it feels like there's not as much as you need out of it for it to hold like the attention of the parents along with the kids. I believe that you could show this to, let's say, an 8 or 9 year old and they would probably have a really good time with it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I would be the parent who has it on and I'm like, dear God, how many episodes is it left? Like, please, can we move on?
And I'd be like, oh, this is entertaining and fun. Like, I think that's where I like it. I want to hear something good that you liked about the show because you've only ragged on it the whole time.
Hey, I said that I thought like the storyline
was linear. That's not a compliment. That's just how stories are supposed to work.
That's a great compliment. It's a high compliment.
It's not.
You know, I actually liked I liked our two, I would say like our two main characters, which would be Nell and like Charles or Isambard. I don't know which one is.
Isambard Tully.
Charles
Devereaux.
Yeah, I actually really liked their characters. I thought they were fun. I thought that while I wished there was a little more depth and I understood more about where they came from, they added like a fun, silly, adventurous element to being highwaymen or like robbers.
Yeah.
And I think they just had really like good chemistry. I think that they did well together as characters and as actors.
Okay.
I genuinely liked their characters. I thought they were fun. It's just when you put them in with everything else, it just kind of that's, you know, it's the whole equation. Like I like some of those components of it, but the whole equation for me just didn't fully equate. So,
yeah, I think that's fair. And I think even broadly, like the chemistry of all of the characters, the
yeah.
like the child actors and like the siblings all felt like genuine. Like at no point was I like,
yeah.
these feel like completely different characters other than like Nell being older and having run off with her husband who now died in this war. Like I understand that these are all siblings and they have a shared history and love of one another. Right. And I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? That was a very short list.
I know.
It's okay. I mean, you don't have to.
It's a little lame. It's kind of a cop out, maybe, but I really like the set design.
That's fair.
I think that they did a really good job with all of, like the sets. Like I loved all the little pubs that they were in, yeah. or like the little inns and everything. And people are singing and having a good time and drinking and whatever. And then they go into another one, and then someone walks in. And they're kind of like, ooh.
Yeah,
which I feel like was very much a real thing if you're traveling. You know, around during those times, you walk into a random inn, you have no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like. Happy go lucky good times, everybody's chilling, and then sometimes it's like, ooh, I stepped into the wrong place.
Yeah.
But just in general, you know, they would go into I think it was episode 3 or 4 when Charles and Nell go in as like this aristocratic like couple
society.
Yeah, high society people, and like it's a very like ornate room, all the costumes, people are very like, they look very posh, very tea party put together and all this kind of stuff. And I thought that was really cool how they told their story through design of the sets as well as costumery. They did a really good job with that. So
okay,
I actually really liked that. I thought it was
we got
visually.
Some good
I thought
stuff
it was
from Andrew.
Visually, I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, I mean they filmed a lot in the real areas of like where they would have basically been, or maybe slightly north or south of where they would have been. Like it's filmed in the UK.
Yep.
All the actors are British, and I agree with you.
Yeah, so I think that was good. I like that.
Okay. We got two things.
What about you?
I actually love the fight choreography in the show.
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, I actually did.
For a show that has, you know, I don't think this is like super, super high budget show. It's no like Game of Thrones, like insane budget. But like Disney Plus has some money and they threw some money in this. And like there's some like really good extended long shot fight sequences of the real actors doing some real genuinely good stunt work where they can't really fake it because it's actually them. And, you know, sometimes the hits you can tell like don't really land, and that's, you know, stunt choreography. But like the first sequence where she is introduced and gets, you know, the power in her and we're seeing it for the first time is like a nearly 2 minute single long take of her having this battle sequence around this one carriage.
Yeah.
And it's genuinely impressive. And there's a lot of sequences where I really, really liked the camera work and I really liked the action and combat. And I was genuinely engaged with it. It's no The Brother's Son, which I think had, you know, is maybe top tier in that way, but like it's better than a lot of the other crap we watch. Generally,
yeah, that's true.
If I'm just scaling it in like the season one scale of things, which we kind of have to do, it's like it's pretty high up
graded on a curve.
But I think on that curve, it sits pretty high.
But yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I think of like the Bionic Woman or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like this blows that shit out of the water, right?
Yeah.
In terms of its like performances and
for sure.
and action in that way. So you got to just give credit where credit's due. And I agree with you. I like the sets. I like the pieces. Like you can tell they're actually sitting in the woods, like having a dialogue, right? Sure. Maybe if you turn the camera around, there's a modern town right there, but it doesn't matter because you really feel like they're out there.
Right.
And they're all, you know, they're riding horses. They're in carriages. Like all those things make a huge difference when you're actually trying to present like the narrative and make the feel of the place feel like it should, you know? And I think like that authenticity really, really matters a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
So we did it. We said some nice things.
Yeah.
Any other nice things that you hated about the show?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I think we kind of, I didn't mention this specifically, but I feel like we've had some talk kind of parallel to this, but I didn't really, except for Poynton and maybe Nell, I didn't really understand anyone's motivations for anything.
That's the biggest problem specifically with Sophia Wilmot's character.
Correct.
She's the daughter of the landlord.
Yes.
Now, the son, who you said his name earlier, I forget.
Thomas.
Thomas.
Easy one to forget. Not a common name.
Yeah. Shut up. I was just having a conversation with our friend Annie about how I can't remember names for shit. Like, yeah. We were talking about a book I read literally minutes ago, and I was like, what's that character's name? And anyway, so you have Thomas, right? And he's in debt. He's just been cut off from his allowance. He is being influenced by Poynton to kill his father, right?
Yep.
Like, he's like, well, you know, if you want to get your inheritance, I know a pretty easy way to do it. And then, so he does it kind of impulsively, right? He just like pulls out a pistol and shoots him when Nell's there because he sees an opportunity to blame her. And then you think his sister, Sophia, would maybe be honest about what has happened, but for some reason she kind of backs him and says, no, it was actually Nell Jackson killed our father.
Yeah.
And then agrees to help Poynton because I think she's interested in like the dark arts magic kind of thing, which is fine if that's her thing, but like you don't really understand why she hates Nell or why she would want to side with her brother instead of with her brother. Like, her brother killed her father and she liked her father. I don't get it.
It's kind of just like a blanket, like Vin Diesel for family type thing. And that's just like, oh, now I understand that's the motivation for this character who apparently is a widow and has this like depth. They kind of talk about her character as in like, oh, there's so much like that she's been through and she's grieving and all this stuff. Don't know anything about it.
Well, and that's like where I go back to the like late on, you know, there's that missing episode, right? Where it's like, there was that two minute scene where we saw her with her husband and his departure to the war 2 years prior. Right. And her, oh my goodness, I'm going to, you know, my one true love. They're enjoying their time in the garden before he has to say goodbye. And then like you hard cut to her, like at his grave in all black, you know, widowed, right? Like you can do it really effectively in 2 minutes. I could write this.
Yeah.
And we don't see any of that. We find out she's a widow 3 episodes later, you know, like, you're exactly right. That I want to know if that episode exists, right? The episode that kind of fills in all these little potholes that, you know, you can still drive over it, but there's plenty of potholes that you got to deal with.
I feel like you could have had a full first episode where it shows Nell with her husband. And I believe that she was with him when he was at war.
Yeah, she was. Cause she was kind of
in the army too, but like not actually officially, but she was helping.
Yeah, because she talks about like going with the other wives and helping like give births and clean wounds and like do certain things that she saw when she was there. So she wasn't like front lines or anything like that, but she was definitely like present on the periphery.
So you could show her there doing that. And of course, it's a kid's show, so they can't show like the reality of like what a war would have been like. You can't just show someone like whose leg was blown off by a cannonball and she's like, you know, addressing the wound, people dying, maggots, things like that, you know. Doing field surgery and, you know, stuff like that. But they could have shown her in that. They could have shown, you know, her tending to people, giving births, like giving her some of that backstory and depth. You know, have her like get this experience where, you know, she is going to get water or something at a river nearby to the battlefield or some shit. And like a troop from the other side, whoever's in this war,
catches her,
and then Billy like saves her.
I think it's the war
with
the French for comics,
right? I thought it might have been with the Spanish.
It's one of the two. I mean, that's
one of the two. I mean, I'm pretty sure they were in like tons of wars. but you know, an enemy troop, and Billy's like, "This is my time. It's my time to save her." She gets out. She's like, "What the fuck was that?" Doesn't really know what's happening. She goes back. You know, you could even fast forward a couple weeks or a month, or at that time, like she finds out that her husband was killed in battle and she's like, well, now what? And they're like, well, you can't really be here because we're all army wives and we're here because our, like, you need, you should go home.
And you can't fight because you're a woman.
And you can't fight because you're a woman. And boom, now she decides that she needs to go back. She has to make her own way back. Thus, she becomes a highway woman. Like, there would be, they could make a whole episode that of that, or, you know, slap that into a longer intro. And then I would be like, oh, cool. Now I have some reason to believe in this character or believe that this situation happened naturally. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that there's, again, like, really simple, easy ways to do it, just like you're saying, right? Where you take 2-3 minutes, which, you know, in especially when you're, we, you know, you and I discussed this when we picked this show. We were looking at how many episodes it was and, like, the length of it. But the length of shows has become this amorphous blob of time where it's like some of the episodes are 30 minutes and some of the episodes are nearly an hour. And it's like there's no real consistency. So taking an extra 2 to 3 minutes on one of your shorter episodes and tacking it on, even as a flashback, which flashbacks suck anyway, but, like, you can do it without that much trouble.
Well, it's nothing.
Yeah, that's what I mean, right? It's not going to ruin the, like, amount of time you're spending, right? It might, you know, if you've never filmed the scene, if it was never part of the intention, well, that's fine, but then you can't, like, make it a staple in the story, right? Like, there's that give and take of, like, what you're showing versus what you're telling. And I agree with you that there's, like, plenty of ways to have done this where maybe we don't ever see Nell's husband, just like we don't in this context, but you see her running off, like, abandoning her family, like they imply that she did, right? And then you see her family, like, kind of grieving her because they thought she was dead, and then she just shows up again, right? Mm-hmm. You can do it in, like, simple ways where you are showing the family side, not even Nell's side, and then Nell shows back up, all very, you know, surprising everyone, and you can still effectively communicate the importance of her running off with her husband and the experiences that she had there and the trauma that could be associated with it, but it's a show for kids, so we can't do that.
Yeah. They kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit by making this show such a, like, tunnel vision show around, like, the child experience, like, the kids experience. Like, the show, I've seen shows that have dark elements that are kind of for kids, but also for the parents. Like, kind of, you've mentioned this before, like, if I were putting on a child show and I'm a parent, like, I want to also get something out of it. Shows have done that where there's, like, a layer of kind of superficial story that's happening that's accessible to everyone. But meanwhile, you're watching it, there are some darker themes and some more subtle, deeper themes that someone, like an adult, might grasp onto and understand and really vibe with.
Yeah.
They didn't do that here, and they there's so much potential for it. The thing that frustrates me the most about this show was that there was a lot of potential. Like, I really could have liked this show a lot if they had just done a little bit more to build out characters, motivations, and it wouldn't have even been that hard, really.
No, I agree. And I think, like, speaking to your point, it's like we've had a renaissance in the last decade of, like, especially cartoon shows that are really, like, adult, like, kid stories, but adult themes, right? Like Adventure Time being, like, a pinnacle example of that, where, like, you can put on Adventure Time.
Bluey.
Yeah, Bluey's a great, even better, right?
Yeah.
Bluey's made for 3 to 6 year olds, but like, you watch adults watch that show and they're in a ball of
and
tears.
They're crying. Because
because it's genuinely heartfelt and really warm and meaningful. There's, you know, we could go on and on, but your point is extremely well made that, like, we just need to, like, enjoy the show if we're watching it with a kid, you know, even if it's just, like, cursorily. Yeah. And I think, like, to your point, it just kind of missed the mark for you. I think it didn't miss as many marks for me. You know, we're not to our rating or anything, but I mean, I think just a fair assessment of what we're both talking about.
It's a completely fair assessment. And if you look this show up and you look at, like, the ratings it has in other places, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 87.
That's pretty high.
And how, like, IMDb has it as a 7.4. It was a lot of reviews. I don't know
those
exactly
are both
how
like
many,
pretty,
but,
like, see, and that falls, like, more in line with, like, not to spoil anything, but, like, that's closer to what I would have guessed, even if, like,
our
discussion maybe wouldn't make me think that.
It, yeah, I mean, 86 86-87 from Rotten Tomatoes, average of 7.7 for a review. Metacritic gave it a 70 out of 100 based on 13 critics. That's not bad. Honestly, that's really not that bad. Like, I think it was pretty well received by a lot of people. I'm just not the target audience, and I guess I don't transcend my own preferences as much as some do, right?
Yeah, I mean, that has been clear. You know, you don't like Alcatraz, and that show's great. So, I mean,
right. Yeah,
I did it. I brought up Alcatraz, put money in the pot.
Yeah, you did it. Wow, another $5 in the pot. Yeah. I'm a millionaire.
That's what I was joking about. Is we need like a little, like, it's like a swear jar, but every time I bring up Alcatraz, I got to put in 25 cents.
Yes. So, and that's how we fund the yearly retreat.
Yeah.
For the season one pod
around here is me donating coins to myself to talk about Alcatraz.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk briefly. I think like this show kind of writes itself, but what would you want from another season, right? Like if we did have to have another season, what would you have changed, updated, adapted?
It's tough. I think that Sophia got a good taste of dark magic and was like very naturally gifted.
Yeah.
And I think that while she kind of gave it up a little bit at the end to help defeat Poynton, I think that she was too strongly seduced by it to turn away. So I think that she's going to kind of lean into that. And I would hope if they were going to add some depth to their characters that she would struggle with like being involved in dark magic, but not wanting that to be who she is, like define that she's a dark person or an evil person. But I don't know if they would do that, but anyways,
I think like what you're saying, it makes sense where you know, Nell implies that she's not going to help them at the end. And that they're going to have to basically resort to highway robbery if they're going to want to, you know. And so, like, maybe you see that the contrapositive of that where you see a very malicious version of Nell now stalking the highways of greater London town, you know, using this nefarious magic.
Yeah. You mean Sophia?
No, but she's the opposite of Nell.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nell, like, only kind of uses her powers to protect herself and others, right?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yes, now I'm following. Yeah, so I think, you know, we see her, and then I think Thomas truly probably Thomas kind of has a change of heart after he kills his father. He's pretty messed up about it. He sees ghosts, he's really struggling with it. I think he becomes the voice of reason.
Okay.
I think that they stick together because clearly they're very close siblings, because, you know, she, like, Sophia, despite like her conscience telling her not to lie, she lied, and for him, so I think that they'll be together, maybe doing a highway robbery duo. He has guilt; she doesn't feel bad about it at all because they have to make their way in the world, and she's kind of being seduced by magic, but struggles at the same time. And then I think you see Nell trying to have a sleepy life at their tavern, back in Tottenham. Tottenham, where they're from, and you know, all that's going well, but something pulls her back out of it. I think it's going to be something to do with Sophia. I don't know. I don't think that they would kill off like George or Roxy, like one of her sisters, because they can't. They can't start every season with her losing a family member. But there's going to be something that happens in the world that she feels obligated to help with. And I think that somehow Billy's going to make his way back to her in a very desperate time. And then they're going to figure it out. I think hopefully we'd see more about what Billy is, why Billy's there, why everyone has mullets in this show. And then also, yeah, I don't know.
I think it's very funny to criticize the mullets when you yourself have a bit of a mullet going on right now.
I don't have a mullet right now, but I have had mullets.
I don't know. It's a lot shorter in the front than it is in the back.
I don't know. I don't really know.
Our viewers can't, or our listeners cannot see us, so it doesn't really matter. Okay, I'm going to go completely different way with it.
As you'd usually do.
Yeah, fuck those other characters. I don't care about the dark mistress, Sophia Wilmot, or her brother.
She's dead to you, huh?
She's dead to me. They can make a cameo, or they're like one of the episode villains, but they're not the main villain. What you do is they're living a peaceful life in their tavern, running it in their own way, you know, to the pride of their father, you know, deceased father, and then it gets burnt down by, drumroll please, the captain that was hired by the Wilmots, by her to track down Nell, because we see that they find Nell when she's at like this high society thing, and then they get attacked by like this demon that Poynton summoned. And basically I want him to have been like disgraced, like he's always been able to find his man or woman, like always been able to track him down, and like Nell was the one that got away, and so he's like taking out his revenge on her, and so she burns down, or he burns down their family and estate. And so then there, she's once again kind of on the run from this guy that's just like desperate to kill her. And every time she seeks refuge from somebody that would help her, they keep getting killed. Like he's just on this like tyrannical attack of her and her family. And so she has to resort to kind of going underground, going back to the highway robbery, going, you know, taking it, the criminal element back into her own hands to try and, you know, save herself and recover. I think that could be an interesting take.
All right. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
That being said, there is no second season.
As is the point of the whole show.
Renegade Nell, which, if you're surprised to hear that, I think you missed the point, but that's okay. Try again next time.
Maybe you'll understand what the show's about next time you listen.
Yeah. Well, with that, I think it's about time for reviews. Presley, would you recap the scale? The rating scale, absolutely. And then
so 0 out of 5 stars is terrible, worst idea you've ever had, don't talk about it ever again, it shouldn't have been a show. 1 out of 5 stars is we got a pilot and the pilot was bad and you shouldn't have made an entire season about it or anything else, it was just not a good concept. 2 out of 5 stars is we got a season, it wasn't great and we're happy it didn't continue and we're fine that it's gone. 3 out of 5 stars is the watch at your own risk. You may enjoy it, you may not, based on our conversation, based on your own interests, based on cultural things at the time. It might be great, it might be terrible. So there it is. 4 out of 5 stars is, this is a good show. We needed more. We needed another season. This earned it. Even if it wasn't the strongest, like we want more of it, and we're sad that it's gone. 5 out of 5 stars is the best shows ever. The criminal crimes that it was canceled, because how dare you remove this culturally impactful show from the zeitgeist. I have a feeling I know which one yours is going to be. So without further ado, Andrew, will you tell our listeners what your rating of Renegade Nell is?
My rating is a 1.
A 1? Wow.
Harsher
than I expected. I thought it was going to be a 2.
At breakfast this morning, was discussing this with my partner.
Did she watch the whole show as well?
She did not.
Okay.
Fortunately for her. we were discussing this and she asked me, what's your rating going to be? And I said 0.
Wow. Because
I just didn't really like this show. Like, I know I just spoke a lot about,
I was going to say, potential. Like, nothing that you said had led me to a 1 or a 0.
I know. I said a lot about potential and all of this stuff. And I know it's like based on some short, is it based on some kind of story? It was purchased by somebody here.
Not that I'm whatever. Worried. I think it's a
I don't know,
thing, but could be.
I just didn't like it.
That's fine.
And it's a perfect 1 for me. I was gonna put it at 0 because I didn't like the idea of it, and because I didn't know anything about anyone's motivations. What's the structure of the magic here? What's like? Give me a reason to believe anything that's happening, and I didn't have any. But then I think like our conversation has bumped me up to a 1, right? Wow. I'm willing to say that like I watched a pilot. It deserved a pilot. It's enough of a good show or good concept to deserve a pilot. But that's as far as I personally would want to see it. Because I knew at the end of the first episode that I was going to not like this show.
Okay.
That's a pretty perfect one. So, wow. You're going to give it a 3.
I am absolutely going to give it a 3. I thought it was fun. Right, it's like that show. It like we talk a lot about like dumb shows, right? Like
yeah.
Shows, and I don't mean dumb in like a diminutive way. I mean it in like a like it's not emotionally or thematically complex beyond like just enjoying whatever fun thing is happening on the screen at that one moment. You know, like a lot of prestige television nowadays, like if you haven't watched every single episode and analyzed it and sat down with your friends and watched 2 episodes of a follow-up show afterwards that discusses the episode, you're going to miss like 6 things.
Yeah.
And this is not a show like that. It's a show that I can throw on in the background, watch some fun fight sequences, listen to their fun accents, enjoy some of the acting, enjoy the set pieces, and move on with my life. So like that feels like a 3, where it's like you might enjoy it, you might not. I think if you're a younger listener of ours, which I don't know why we would have younger listeners because we say bad words, but like, you know, if you have kids that are like young, like 6 through 10, they might probably like this show. You might not like it, but like there is an audience for this kind of show, and just because it's not us doesn't mean like we shouldn't like give it credit. And I think it does a lot more right than it does wrong in the whole thing. And I just think it's like such a matter of taste over a matter of like objective great or terrible. I don't think this show is objectively terrible to everybody, right? Because then it, yeah, in my mind, would be a 0 or 1, not to discredit your thing. But it's like I had fun. I was engaged. So 3 for me. Fair I love enough. It when we disagree, though. It's my favorite episodes is when we have vastly different results.
Yeah, I agree. Well, speaking of...
I'm so worried.
Controversy.
Oh, no. I know what you're going to do.
Of, you know, opposite opinions or, you know, being on opposite sides of a spectrum. Are you ready to hear the show we're going to watch next?
I have a guess. And I think maybe even our listeners might know what we're going to watch. Yeah. I'm so mad.
Yeah, we're finally hitting SEO.
We're getting that good SEO. Yeah,
we're getting that good SEO. We're gonna watch The Acolyte because it was literally canceled like 1 or 2 days ago.
2 days ago, yeah.
Two days ago.
We're recording on Saturday. I think it was canceled on Thursday.
And not only is this a Star Wars show that I've been meaning to check out, so that like helps,
I'm so mad at you.
Kind of helps me a little bit with watching it, but I'm genuinely very curious to know what the controversy, because for whatever reason, like my Twitter, my threads, my this, my that, everything is showing me things about The Acolyte, not about the content. So I don't really know a lot of what actually happens in the series other than like one of the main people is like super hot. Manny Jacinto, I think it is.
Yeah. It's the guy from The Good Place.
Sure. You know, I just know that there's a lot of controversy in like, we'll talk more about this next week, but it feels like Star Wars fans doing their best to hate everything that is put out.
Which, you know, this is why it's torture to me, because that's me.
Yeah. And so, we're going to watch The Acolyte. If you've already seen it, get ready for a great conversation. You've been meaning to watch it. Now's your time. We're going to watch The Acolyte.
I got my Google alerts of canceled TV shows, and that popped up.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, add it to the list. And then as soon as I added it to the list, I'm like, Andrew's going to use this again. Like, I knew it. I could, like, feel it. Like, Andrew's going to pick this show very soon. Not even for the SEO, just because he knows that this shit irritates me so badly. Yeah. And so I know that this is a personal attack.
I'm going to talk so much shit next time. So much shit
about me or about Star Wars?
About you a little.
You like Star Wars a lot more than I do.
Yeah, probably. I I have a
maybe
lot of
we're
opinions.
Showing our hand too much for next
I have a lot of opinions on recent Star Wars projects, and admittedly I haven't watched everything that's come out. Show
I think I've watched
wise,
a lot more
than
you have, actually.
But yeah, so we're gonna watch Acolyte, much to Presley's dismay. Team, we're gonna be watching Acolyte. So
okay, well, that was a good one. Damn it. Okay, thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah, thanks for
check
listening.
Check out our social media @season_1_pod. We have a Reddit, r/season1pod. No underscores in that one. We also have our website, season1pod.com. Pretty easy to remember. It's just the name of the thing that we do. We have merch. I'm still working on new merch. I was talking with our friend Annie about it today, trying to figure out what they were going to be. I have some new ideas that I'm going to pitch for you. I was actually working on them today, so I actually have like concepts to show you, Andrew. And I think that's everything.
All right.
We appreciate our listeners, and I'm really sorry that I'm going to be really, really mean next episode.
Yeah.
But I hope everyone enjoys it, and I always enjoy talking to you, Andrew. My bestest bud. Did we do it? I think we did it. I think we're at the end of the show. So thanks again, everyone, for listening. And until next time, my name is Presley.
My name is Andrew, and we watch this so you don't have to.